Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello, welcome to our 1 year anniversary extravaganza of the Skeleton Boys. My name is Rolando, and as always, joining me today is John. How are you today, sir?
And I'm Johnny. Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm good. Hey, what's up, bud? How's everything? How have you been this entire year of podcasting?
I have learned a lot and learned a little bit about love, too.
I learned a lot, too. Did you know that bunnies' tails you can pull out and they're longer than they look?
I saw that. I saw that yesterday.
That's what I've learned.
So, if anybody has listened to our show, we have an extra voice. We have a guest, a very special guest. He is, in my estimation, one of the most talented actors and all-around great guys, Mr. George Choppa. Welcome to the Skeleton Boys.
Joe Biden. Yeah. Yeah. It's me.
Sorry, Joe Budden.
It's always picking fights with Eminem. So, thank you for having me on this podcast. This is amazing.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you for being with it. Yeah, thank you for joining us.
All the way from the other coast.
Yeah. East coast.
To coast. Oh, not to be confused with Coast to Coast, the other horror podcast.
It's not George Norrie.
Yeah. No. That we know.
Well, you
never
know
see what? Face.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, like, you two guys actually were pretty much at the beginning of, like, my career, or like me cementing the idea that I want to be an actor. Like, John, we did, like, I was telling you earlier, like, the very first play, like, literally the first real play I ever did was, you know, I was understudying all of y'all, but doing prop run for Lion in Winter, and then 2006. And then Rolando was putting what Skittles in my beans for Mice and Men in 2009.
We gotta tell that story.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, what was the first time I actually worked with George, and I think it was a Bison Man, because I'd heard, oh yeah, George Choppa. I heard a lot about you before I actually met you. I was like, oh yeah, he's coming back. He came back. He was here at Pan Am before. He's a great actor, you know. And of course, once I saw of Mice and Men, I was like, dude, this guy's fucking great.
I paid a lot of people to say that. I was the understudy.
He was the understudy for Lion of Winter, yeah, Sirloin de Cloth.
It's actually, I wrote a sketch and we shot that, and I can send it to you all later on. But it's dumb. I want to expand it, but we'll talk about Sirloin later. But yeah, like, when I did the Lion of Winter, I realized, man, because I had no clue what anything was in theater, anything at all. And so that was a great learning experience. And I was like, okay, I kind of got the bug there. But when I did of Mice and Men, that was like, that's what like cemented it in. That I was like, man, I want to continue doing this. And, you know, I'm glad I chose it. And, you know, that, I'm here now a couple years later, and I've been fortunate, to work some of the jobs.
All because you played the of in of
yeah,
Mice and Men.
I was the mice in the men. You know, it's the Richard Gere story.
Yeah. Richard Gere. Yeah. You were co-starring with Richard Gere.
Of Mice
and Men.
That was the actual show I did.
My other little memory I have of you is we would sit in the back of the dressing rooms, right? And we would just bullshit and just talk about stuff. And I remember you telling me about you wanted to do this short or something about you being like an aged male stripper.
I did it.
Do you remember this? Or you did it, yeah. I remember that was the first instance of it. I remember you telling me, I was like, dude, that's fucking
Sirloin Lives, man.
It was, and I'm pretty sure it was Sirloin Lives.
Yeah. I can't believe it was going way back when I had the idea about that. Yeah.
That was way back. Yeah.
I shot the short and I want to continue with it. Like I have this whole full, like, I don't know if it'd be a better feature than a series, but like I have this idea of expanding mm-hmm. Sirloin. No pun intended.
Oh yeah. Well, subscribe to Brazzers and maybe you can watch the rest of it.
Oh, you only get just the tip. Yeah. Right now.
The whole chopper.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Unless exactly. You tip, you only get the tip.
Tip for tip.
Anyway, we're a horror movie podcast.
I had just one quick question, George. What was the first horror movie you remember actually like scaring you, or what was the first thing you remember?
So way back when, there's actually three movies that I will always remember that really cemented me into horror. First was Friday. Nightmare on Elm Street, because I was so scared of Freddy Krueger without ever seeing the movie. I was just so scared. I was like 5-6 years old, and I just remember Freddy Krueger was so bad. And I remember I had to have been 5 because this kid Adrian from Chicago that was in my class in kindergarten said, like, Freddy will get you even when you're having sex. And I was in kindergarten, and I remember, like, I don't want anyone to get me while I'm having sex.
Like, oh, that sounds awful. Oh, man, you're like, holy shit, I'm banging all the time.
Is that yeah, what you're I'm like 5. You
know what I mean? So I'm plowing every day. Even, fuck.
I'm plowing. Look, in my little 6-year-old, 5-year-old bones. But yeah, I was like, what does that even mean? And I got in trouble. Yeah, skeleton boys. But like... I remember I got in trouble with my parents because I said something about sex and I didn't even know what that was. So that was that. But then, you know, yeah. like when it, the series came out, you know, the 2-part, so that obviously like that had a big, mm-hmm. You know, part in, you know, my horror journey. And then Maniac Cop, for some reason, it would just pop up on the TV and Maniac Cop.
Dude, he used to pop up all yeah. the time, which I don't even remember Bruce Campbell being in that, but he is one of the, he's the main yeah. good guy, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, if you watch the movie now, it's
garbage.
Utter trash.
Aren't they trying to revive
yeah,
it?
It's crap. Yeah, I think so. Which, I mean, where else are they going to find that? That actor jaw, had like that weird, the face. I mean, it wasn't like a deformity. It was like a, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's weird, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that was those like the movies oh, yeah. that really did it for me. And then obviously like the books wise is like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and Stories That Must Not Die. That. Yeah. So yeah, I was always into that kind of stuff. But it was always real like I had to hide. Like I think every kid talks about like hiding, watching horror movies, especially like if you grew up in a super religious household, you know, that's a common thread, a common theme yeah. you see with any kind of horror mm-hmm. fan is like, oh yeah, we're grew up in a super religious household and you had to hide watching horror.
Yeah, yeah. So 2 things I should add real quick. I was scared shitless before it became a fucking popular thing to be scared of. I mean, not that it wasn't
clowns.
Scary before, but clowns. No, Large Marge and Pee-wee's Big Adventure used to scare the shit out of me when I was yeah. a kid. Yeah, the claymation yeah. part. I was like, this is fucking
crazy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, and when I finally got over the Crypt Keeper scaring the shit out of me at the intro when he pops out of the coffin, I used to hide behind a couch and wait for my little brother because I know he didn't see me. And once that would pop out, I would like jump yeah. out and I would get in trouble all the fucking time for doing that. That's why my little brother's fucked up. Sorry, CJ.
Yeah, no, I remember this Tales from the Crypt episode with, I think, Ron Perlman. He gets possessed, and he ends up, just this one image where he has to cut half his body in half, and half his body was, I don't know, deformed or, like, painted, like, red or something. It just, like, creeped me the fuck out. And another half was his good side or something, and it just, like... And, you know, Ron Perlman's already, like, a naturally scary-looking dude. So it like, added onto it.
Yeah, he's got that big
yeah,
head.
Yeah, that's shit. He's just scared the shit out of me, too. That's
why he played Beast very well.
Yeah. And if he was half-red, yeah. are you sure this wasn't Hellboy?
Oh, wait, not Ron Perlman. Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hellboy. No, you know what? It was Clancy Brown. Oh, it was Clancy Brown. He's also a little fucked up, too, Clancy Brown.
I mean, we fucking know him from Highlander. I mean, that's my first experience with Clancy Brown.
My Pet Cemetery, too.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
I was just talking to some guy I was working with recently, and it's very flattering. All these kids still think I'm in my 20s. They're like, oh, you're not, like, what, like 26? Like, I'm like, oh, marry me. I was explaining to him, like, yeah, dude, the voice of Mr. Krabs, you have no idea. He's a fucking legend. He's like a science fiction horror legend.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, where do we go from here? I guess that's the end.
Of what? Yes.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
So speaking of, like, Tales from the Crypt, did y'all watch the new American Horror Stories, the anthology, where it was a different episode?
No, I need to, because a lot of my homies were.
So it's fun to see all the kind of inspirations behind every episode. You know, like, you could tell, like, there's like, you know, they're paying homage to this, but in their own American Horror Story way. Like, they did their own. Remember the episode of Tales from the Crypt where the Santa was an escaped psychopath and he's chasing.
I do. And I think we finally saw what inspired that, by the way. We reviewed a movie from, like, the late 70s, I think.
Yeah. Well, really, like
some weird French film,
they did their own take of that on the American Horror Stories, but with Danny Trejo.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that. And then they did one, I think it's like the second or third episode of the season, where it's this kind of drive-in theater and they're showing this one movie that if people watched it, they go crazy and ballistic and start killing each other. And if you ever watched the Masters of Horror series, you know, Mick Garris had that going on. I think they got the idea from Cigarette Burns, the John Carpenter film with Norman Reedus, where he's chasing that one film where they actually got an actual angel, you know, and they have him chained up and Udo Kier is in it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yes.
That was one of the better ones.
John Carpenter, man. He crushes it.
It's kind of one of the good ones, actually.
There was that one with the deer woman.
Yeah.
Remember the Native American? She was a deer.
Oh, she was supposed to be a Wendigo?
No, she was not. I don't think she was a Wendigo. She was half woman, half deer. And there's like this old legend, like a Native American legend, where I don't know. It's just like the spirit of the animal goes after and kills men. Kind of like a succubus sort of thing. But there's a new book, or it's not a new book. It came out last year called The Only Good Indians. And it's by Stephen Graham Jones. And he kind of gets his like idea from that. And he expands on it. So I think you'd like it. I think I think they're turning it into a movie. But it's a really good read if you want to read some good Native American horror. Like modern Native American horror.
Hell yeah. I mean, we just, we actually just reviewed Headcount, which was okay. It wasn't great. It was good.
Yeah.
But it had to do with a, what are they called? Skinwalker. Fuck, what are they called?
Skinwalker.
Native American
Skinwalker,
lore.
Yeah.
Skinwalker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was based on a creepypasta, right?
Hissin,
I don't remember what they decided to call it. It was like Hitchin a creepypasta or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hitchin or...
We're not politically correct on this show. We're not going to remember.
No, I don't know. No. Yeah.
Not my culture.
Don't appropriate it.
I only care about Mexican stuff, and I'm even bad about that.
Oh, yeah, man. Did you see the movie Madres?
Was it,
on Amazon?
No.
So it's pretty... It has a good... The plot is very interesting. I think it falls flat near the end because it becomes predictable. But it's one of the Blumhouse, the new Blumhouse, like Welcome to the Blumhouse sort of deals for Amazon. And the lead, the female lead's from McAllen.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
that's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's like, man, good for her. And like, I just think that they could have done more with the ending. you know, or the last act. Like, it just, it's like, come on. You had so much going for it, but it wasn't bad. I mean,
maybe I'll check it out. I don't fully support the BH productions, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had horrible experiences.
Oh, a lot of people have.
Yeah.
I've heard.
Well, we got to say, I'll fucking say it out loud. The first AD on Rust, the Alec Baldwin thing, he was the first AD on a lot of these Blumhouse things.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything.
Wow, man. Yeah. That's sad.
But
yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible loss, actually. A lot of my friends were friends with her. I mean, she went to AFI.
Y'all know Rick Diaz?
No, I don't think I know Rick Diaz.
He graduated a year after me from Sherryland. He's a DP out there. And he had just shot the last season of Stranger Things. He was the DP for that. A few other movies and a lot of commercials. So, yeah. He's a real good guy. You should connect with him.
He just
DP'd the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, I think I did read something about him because of that. Yes.
I've been reading about these guys. Yeah, they shot they got the rights, right? And they just shot their own movie?
Yeah.
Out there in the valley,
yeah,
right?
Like, it's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The directors from Harlingen, the DP graduated from Sherryland with me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like I said, there's a lot of people from the valley doing stuff. It's nuts.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Other than the, you know, in the RGV, we don't play no games. So
in the RGV, we don't play no games. I went to middle school with those guys.
Nice. What are they doing now? Are they still playing, making bank off that one song?
Playing no games. Those games are not being played. Still.
Nice. And if anybody's curious listening and you don't know what we're talking about, YouTube. Oh, what is the song?
I think you should
called?
Find it and just link it in the show notes.
Yeah. I think they're called Lost Angels.
Fallen
right?
Angels.
Or Fallen Angels.
Fallen
Angels.
Lost Angels. In the
Fallen Angels.
Atrocity Tribulations.
Nice.
Hey, it's time for me to jump in here real quick so we talk about our sponsor. I'll Take You With Me Crematorium. This holiday season can be stressful. Don't worry. As a family-owned I'll Take You Home Crematorium, it's here for all your holiday needs.
Nice. I like it. That sounds like an 80s song I could get behind. I'll take you home, crematorium.
80s?
Baby, I'll hold your golden hand. I don't know. Yeah, I'm into it. Thank you for sponsoring us.
Yeah.
And that's a Jimmy G production as well, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy G's I'll Take You Home Crematorium. Jimmy G's coming with you. I don't know what that means. It might be a sexual thing. I think we should move on.
Delvin Mark and Crematorium. It's time for me to go. The good times along with all the sorrow. I can't seem to let go. I can't forgive, I won't forgive. I'll just take you with me. I'll just take you with me. Just take you with me.
Be assured, your loved ones will be taken care of with us. Even if there is no family or a body, we will be sure to share their pain and suffer with them as we give them back to the earth at Tilden Morgue Crematorium, family owned since the early 1900s.
Skeleton Boys. Just wanted to throw this in here real quick and tell you that I promised you a spot, a little promotional spot for a new product, and maybe I didn't watch the documentary that you boys watched to review this week, and I maybe should have done that, and I didn't realize that maybe I've been doing business with a sort of a person that should have been burned at the stake. Now, I don't want to be canceled. It is 2021. I'm not going to call people names, but a witch comes to mind. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to shut up before I... Bye.
I'm actually really excited about talking about this movie. This one is one got on my radar, George, before you had recommended it. So today, our guest, we decided to give our guest the opportunity to pick the movie, and he picked The Autopsy of Jane Doe. So, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. Yes.
4. The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Johnny's 5-word plot summary. Coming in at number 3, I have nudist destroys lives around them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the movie. All right. I'm pretty sure. Yes. I mean, there was no reason for her to not have clothes. I'm just saying right now. Director, coming in at number 2. Father, son, worked to death. These would be my little summary. If you want to know, there's not going to be a description in the back of the... And coming in at number 1. Business doesn't meet OSHA regulations. Why the fuck would you only have an elevator and then a staircase that goes to a storm?
You don't think that
they
would have a staircase that would go into the actual house? Yeah, that was the one thing that, like, watching it this time around, I was thinking to myself,
exactly.
I'm like,
yeah, I was like, what is this?
One more exit to not get out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, how is anybody, I guess, somebody in a wheelchair would go down the elevator and hope for the best?
Yeah. Or down the storm drain.
Instead of this one storm cellar, like whatever, and you know, there happens to be the one and only tree.
The one.
Yeah, I think morgue should only be like one floor, right? Morgue should only be like one floor. There shouldn't be like upstairs, downstairs at morgues.
I mean, we saw the mortuary collection.
Yeah.
And that was not the case for them. Well, there you go.
So, George, do you want to give us your first thoughts?
So, like, Autopsy Jane Doe is a movie that I caught wind of a few years ago, and it was one of those that kind of, to me, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I don't feel like it got a lot of publicity at all. And the only way I heard about it was through podcasts. Like, I was listening to Shockwaves, the old Blumhouse podcast, and they mentioned Autopsy Jane Doe. And so I finally caught it somehow, and I was just thinking to myself this whole time, like, how did a movie with these two actors fly under the radar? And it's so good. You know, it's just one of those hidden gems. As a horror fan, you hope that you come across a film that just kind of just goes against all, you know, tropes, and it kind of
Frozen.
You're good. But it kind of broke the mold for me about, you know, witches and like the whole spoiler alert,
right?
You know, that whole thing, and it built.
Oh man, I was gonna say.
Yeah. But.
Oh man, yeah, well, podcast is over. You guys know what happens. No, I'm just kidding. No, please continue.
I try to recommend it to people because, like, I just feel like it's one of those, like, in my opinion, it's one of my favorite horror movies of the 2010s. you know, or in the last 15 years. It's just, it's in my top five that came out in the last 10 years, easily.
So I'm going to throw out a guess, and I'm going to say, I'm not sure when this situation happened, but Emil Hirsch got in hot water because he hit a woman at a party. He got upset with one of the producers of some film and punched her in the face.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure when that happened, but it might have been around that time. So.
It could have been. It could have been. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. That's why you haven't seen him in too many things lately.
Oh, man. Well, that easily could have been it.
So maybe another factor was that this movie was probably released around December 2016, the election.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of other people had other shit on their mind at the time. So I know I did. I was this is also one of those things where I think it probably did miss it because of that. And I think it's weird because it has like really good actors and they're doing like great shit, like Brian Cox and Emil Hirsch are doing some amazing stuff in this, which is a
discount
in
Daniel
my opinion
Craig.
above average for what's his name? Bolton? The sheriff. From Game of Thrones. Yeah. But the acting is just like so good between these guys. I love Brian Cox, man. Like he's just everything this man's in is just like always top notch stuff. So and he definitely brings it in this. I don't know if you guys ever saw, the first thing I remember watching him in was L.I.E. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. He plays basically a pedophile. Like he kind of grooms these kids, these boys or whatever.
Oh, shit.
These group of boys. And it was like this really serious piece. And he's really good. He's really good. He's like extremely charismatic. And they kind of hint around, the subject matter. But like I remember watching him and thinking like, man, this guy's just so charismatic and just interesting in this part. So, I've always been a fan of his. So when these two guys, and Emil Hirsch is
really good. One of the things with me about Emil Hirsch was that he started getting into this mold of, I got to play tough guy, bad guy sort of roles where he was really kind of just like forcing. I remember there's a movie called Alpha Dogs or Some Timberlake was in it. He did that, and then he did something else.
Alpha Dog, and Justin Timberlake. And
I think what helped him out for me in this film was that he was just a little bit more, he's a normal guy. He wasn't putting on a front or anything that he had to be tough or anything, And I like that. It showed like a more sensitive side.
Right. It was good. I mean, but compared to Brian Cox, who's been in everything. Like Super Troopers and
Troy.
Super Troopers 2.
And Troy.
Training that.
Super.
Troy's Troopers. Fucking amazing in Troy.
Yeah, he was a Super Troopers, He was
good. He was okay.
So there's that. Emil Hirsch wasn't in Super Troopers. Well, I'm just saying that.
You know what? I think Emil Hirsch was trying to, I think he was trying to be a like Sean Penn. He was trying to have like Sean Penn's type of career or like roles and stuff. And I actually like the fact that he kind of plays just like a normal dude who all this shit's happening to him. And he's kind of like inexperienced and trying to learn from his dad and stuff like that. So it was totally different from what I would normally see for him, So that was definitely exciting. John, what did you think of the Autopsy of Jane Doe? First thoughts.
Too much nudity for my taste. So I give it -1 church bone.
You needed more dong or what did you
need? I was like, if you're gonna introduce somebody named Brian Cox into this movie, I better see something. No, I thought it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I really like, as you guys were talking about, they both of them kind of just played regular people. And even the moments where it's like, oh, they better get out of here, like they better like leave or whatever, it was more of like, well, they're just doing their job, or like at least Brian Cox is just doing his job. I never thought like, oh, he's stupid for not leaving. And then the moment when like shit really hits the fan, they're like, "Oh, let's get the fuck out of here," and then they can't. But you know, yeah, I thought it was fun. It was a fun little movie, and I'm glad it didn't try too hard to be anything else too. Like it could have easily have been overcomplicated and like, oh, we need to have
backstory. You don't need any of that. You know, they go into a little bit of that with like the mother, but like you're right, they don't force those. You know, like.
Because they could have with the girlfriend too, but it didn't seem all that. It was just there, so they had one more person to kill, honestly.
Yeah. You need it.
Yeah, spoilers.
You just need a good twist at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
Twist of the axe.
Yeah. It's a ghost story. It's a haunted house story. It's even, I think, like a two-act play. It's like nothing. They're pretty much confined to this one. They're basically their workspace, right? Their home, the mortuary. So,
and then they just, these poor people get fucking tortured because this bad guy is just, seriously, she's a real bitch. I'm not gonna say a bad word. Just kidding. What I wanted to do, but I didn't have time because I've been working. But what I wanted to do was like go back and try to figure out how the first people died, like how they killed each other and how that all, I wish I knew more, even though it's not really that important because it just seems like, this witch, right? We've already spoiled it. This witch, like kind of, I feel manipulates people into transporting her body where she wants her body to be. Right. Because otherwise, like, I don't understand how she ended up in the ground in the basement. Yeah.
Yeah. But how did they come into contact with her body in the first place? See, like, I've seen this movie a couple of times now, and this was the first time watching it where I was thinking to myself, okay, we know how she gets to the morgue that plays off for the feature film. But, you know, me, the actor, is wanting to know, like, the moment before, like, how did she end up in the previous house where those murders occurred? Like John was saying, like those people died a certain way, you know, there's a bullet and one of those, I think a gunshot bullet wounds, but like, she's in the basement half dug in or up, you know, we don't know like if they're burying her or like bringing her up. So how did they come in? So how did they come into contact with her? Which would be like, if Hollywood is going to be Hollywood, they should make a prequel on how.
Because I would like to know, I would like to find out that what, not Daniel Craig's idea of like, hey, get this body into the other fucking county. I don't even want to see this body anymore. Make it like somebody else's problem. I want it to be like that all the time. Like, oh fuck.
Yeah. I'm assuming they unburied the body, right? Because didn't they have like a lot of dirt and nails and shit that just seemed like she was already buried and they unearthed her?
That's
one way. I
well no it was Pete.
Yeah, and she was and she was kind of clawing her way to escape from stuff, but even then, if she was buried there, they would have dug her up while putting in the foundation of this house, you know what I mean? So I want to know. So that brings me to my next thing is like, if they could do a prequel on how she got to that house to start off this movie, they can do a prequel there, and they could do one of the first things in like horror history is work their way in like a series backwards all the way to the origin. Do you know what I mean? Instead of like, you know, where you start, you know, like where, like say Friday the 13th, you know, you had that one year of the camp and then it just keeps going over and over and over, right? Or like Laurie Strode is in Halloween and then it just takes off into, but you, what if you go backwards?
Goes backwards? You know, I'm going to say, have you seen Ginger Snaps? That goes backwards. Because it's Ginger Snaps 2 and then Ginger Snaps 3 is their witches in the like the 1800s or some shit or 1600s. But I get what you're saying.
One of those movies where I saw way too late and I'm like, oh, I don't like this movie.
Yeah. No, I got what you mean. Yeah.
Because Rolando told me, he's like, you never saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to watch it. So I watched it like last year and I was like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have been watching this now. It's
Yeah. Yeah.
This was definitely a movie you should have watched when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was an actual girl as the body. Like, they found an actress that can hold her breath a certain way to where she doesn't move. It is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And her special talents or skills, it said, can be dead for several hours at a time. It's
right there on the resume.
It's impressive. Yeah, I can make my eyes cloudy for an extended period of time. It's like, holy shit,
and can
tired.
Also embroider.
But I mean, not well. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know how comfortable you guys feel talking about this, but how do you guys feel about like the bush situation? Is that, shouldn't it have been like a mountain of bush, or because it seemed trimmed? I don't know if you guys want to talk about this.
I mean, I didn't really.
I'm only going.
We're gonna go with that. Her skin was way too smooth, and
her teeth were really good.
Completely wearing makeup.
Okay. Yeah, your tongue not so much.
I mean, she's.
Yeah.
I mean, man, I'm alive. More, my teeth still, do not look that great.
And I never thought about the bush. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, like, yeah. But if you're thinking about that, would she also have hairy legs and armpits too?
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying.
See, that's how you know. That was a second give. That was a second, like, little hint I knew she wasn't actually dead. The first one was she didn't relieve her bowels because she's dead. So I was like, she's still alive. Case solved. Perry Mason that shit.
So I'm gonna just quickly change topics, but the other thing, I'm not really like a good body horror guy. I hate shit like that. So all this like surgery and all these little things they're doing really creeped me out. I was kind of looking out through one eye, trying to not look at it too much, but because that I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't like blood. I'm not a body guy, body horror guy, or anything.
It didn't bother me as much as like an Eli Roth film would, you know, like, cause like either that kind of like that sort of like body horror is more like, you know, I'm going to cause this.
Okay,
if there's
going to
be a scalpel in a scene in an Eli Roth movie and a scalpel in this scene, you know, the scalpel was used like in, you know, you understood it wasn't for hatred or like it's for medical procedures. So it didn't bother me. Whereas like, remember, was it Hostel where they cut the Achilles? Wasn't that the one?
Right.
With the scalpel, I think.
Oh yeah. I remember Pet Cemetery having the fucking Achilles cut.
Like if it's done, like, I can't watch that scene, or like out of hate or anger, it for me it's different. Whereas I'm seeing medical procedure. I mean, they show medical shows all the time. I watch Dr. Pimple Popper and Botched all the time, so it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But if.
No, that stuff doesn't bother me. I grew up watching the Evil Dead movies.
The separating and cutting of the flesh from the skin, and then they're just like having that like orchestrated music, pounding music. I was like, oh God, I was like a little creeped out by that. I was like, what's going to happen? Because my whole thing is anytime a chest is open, I think of the thing where like the hands immediately like bite trap. The guy's arms off and shit. Like that's always the first place I think. Like, like a bear trap. Yeah, exactly.
You just got to think we're just bags of slugs and guts. So I also
feel like at this time now, I'm a little desensitized to a lot of this stuff. You know, after watching so much, you know, growing up. I think it's like there's just at some point it's
like Faces of Death 1 through 20.
The Faces of Death, or like what was it was like gore.com or true, I can't remember what it was, like you could see
rotten.com,
like, it's like something like that, wasn't it? I don't remember what you could see, like decapitations.
Rotten.com.
Yeah,
wow, I think where you saw like Kurt Cobain's like death photo,
or like people getting run over or stuff. So it's kind of like, man.
The dude crazy. That flew off his motorcycle and like his jaw was missing and his tongue was hanging out.
Stuff like that. So it
down memory lane here.
I find that now that I've gotten older, I become more sensitive to that stuff. Like, I don't actively look for gory stuff. I don't know. When I was younger, it was like, yeah, dude, I was like fucking gore hound. I'd watch whatever. It didn't matter, you know? But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just old bastard that just got sensitive to this stuff. Yeah. But so, some of that stuff's a little tough to sit through. I don't know. How do you guys feel?
I could see. Oh, sorry about that. I could see exactly how that would, that does affect me too. Like, there's certain things where, you know, like, even like, you know, John was joking earlier, like, there's too much nudity. Sometimes, like, there's like moments where I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, this, I don't, you have boobs, or like, there's a wiener. Like, you know, sometimes that can get to me. But I think the one thing that does get me more is when they're like, kids are hurt, you know, or going through or being bullied now that I have children, you know? Yeah, sure. And like stuff where like I
now you're a dad, bullied, yeah,
or getting hurt, it just, it tears me apart. Like, I couldn't finish watching Euphoria. It was too real, too real.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I knew people that growing up. The, you know, the girl that, you know, got out of rehab in high school, you know, that druggies, or, you know, the jock that has that, you know, those anger issues against women and stuff like that, that was just too real. And this is like, no, I can't, I can't watch that sort of stuff. I think it gets me more than, you know, the body horror.
I remember I pinpoint a certain point where I felt I was like, I'd reached my max, and it happened recently. I was watching, I'd watched the latest, whatever Game of Thrones episode where like, it was the episode where all the girls, this is when it was airing, where all the daughters were getting raped by all the soldiers in that house and out in the woods. And then I remember watching that episode, being fucked up by that, and then immediately switching over to the whatever the latest Walking Dead episode was at the time. It's when it was like the Terminus season. And all those people got like, were raped and murdered, and then they became cannibals and all this other shit. And I was just like, all right, maybe this is too much. I think I've reached my max. So I had to like retreat into other stuff. Like, I had to like, that was the first time I'd ever like, okay, I think I'm done. Like, in terms of, I'm okay. I'm okay with not seeing violent stuff. I'm okay with, you know, taking a step back from all of that. I was like, well, I'll actively look for other stuff.
Well, like you're talking about Game of Thrones.
Like Paw Patrol.
Yeah, Paw Patrol. Dude, there was a Paw Patrol exhibit at the museum over here. Pictures with my kid. Nice. Yeah, yeah, it's fun. But you're talking about Game of Thrones and how they the soldiers were raping, you know, the daughters. But like, I think one of the most powerful and like heart-wrenching scenes in that show was Sansa, you know? The when she got raped, they didn't show a single thing. All you saw was Theon Greyjoy's face and her like whimpering in the back. That was probably one of the most powerful and like gut-wrenching like feelings, like watching that in anything I've ever seen. And I think that that's like true, like good storytelling, you know, where you don't have to show, you know, it's all about what you're like, what Hitchcock talks about all the time is like, what you don't see is what's really gonna affect you more.
Yeah, Hitchcock says, just don't show the shark.
Yeah, your brain or thoughts. Yeah.
You know, with what you're saying though, it's funny because I think that you get that sense from when you realize Jane Doe's intent and everything that she had probably been through, then you understand why she's so angry.
Yeah. Absolutely,
you know,
and Kira is,
and I like Brian Cox's like rationalization of it too, like the whole maybe she wasn't a witch, like Emil Hirsch was already assuming, like, oh no, she's actually a witch, and Brian Cox is like no, what if this is one of those instances where, you know, they created something, and out of malice and hate, this is what spawned,
and they were in her path,
like that.
It's like the big revenge story. And you don't know who this hero is. You just know what the destruction is that they leave behind. That's so crazy. Yeah, that's why I love this film. Like, it's one of those that, you know, it didn't have any crazy caricatures of witches or, you know, just the typical story. This is an unraveling and a discovery. It's just like, where is this story going? And then you find out, like, oh, this is a witch, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I loved it. It's so different. Yeah. Something, yeah, or, like, what is it, you know?
Something of the story.
Is it a demon? Yeah. Is it, what is it? Yeah. So that's what I love.
Definitely not human anymore. Yeah.
No. Yeah, because I for sure, I thought the story was going to be take a turn where it was going to be where they had somehow drugged her and she was still alive and they were cutting into her. So the supernatural turn, the witch turn was like a welcome unexpectedness. You know, it added more to the story and it made me look at things kind of differently. Oh, it was like, okay, now we're getting into like kind of a supernatural thing. And, you know, like you had mentioned, like it kind of turns into her revenge story, yeah. Right?
Because I do like that whole Brian Cox kind of like sacrifices himself to feel her pain. And then Emile Hirsch still has to like kill him. And I was like, oh, she probably had to deal with a lot of that too. And then it's like, oh, just like don't hurt him, you know, let him go free. And she was like, nah, bitch, your son's dead. Sorry.
Yeah.
That part I loved a lot too.
And that's a good, good point. Like it's just this woman who was dealt a horrible card, just tortured. And who knows what they did to these women back in Salem, you know, in the witch trials. They had all these stupid assumptions and stupid tests that they would like make them carry a weight, and if they floated, they're a witch. They never floated. You know what I mean? And it's just like,
yeah, because you don't know if this is all like they just wouldn't bang these fucking men or something, and then they're like, fuck it, you know, let's give them a test.
And it's just one of those things. Fucked. And I think it's like one of the, like looking back at it now, it's like one of the, it's an ultimate like feminist movie if you think about it. You know, like she gets her revenge, and like the mistreatment of probably was more than likely all men who did that to her originally. And, you know, at least Brian Cox understood, like, you know what, we're dealing with the sins of our fathers in a way, you know, and this is our punishment because we were in her path.
Right. Yeah. Because he finally has the capacity to understand or try to understand or try to empathize. Because he had that regret with his wife. Yeah. He felt like he didn't actually do that with his wife.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a cool little connection.
Yeah, it really is a cool connection there. And I mean...
One of the issues I had was I thought they were a little too passive about the girlfriend dying.
Don't you think? I thought about it.
She kind of gets stabbed. Emile Hirsch cries a little, and then Brian Cox is like, okay, let's go.
I did think about that, and I was like, you know what? They were right in the middle of the shit already, and I truly appreciated they didn't make Emile Hirsch this like, oh, how could you do that? You're an evil person. He understood what happened. He saw what happened too, right? So I think it's just like, we're so fucked right now. We're going to die anyway. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah, because what happens, if you remember, the cat dies first.
Yeah.
The cat was really the first victim, and they went to the whole point of, like, breaking its neck, giving it, like, a, you know, a fast death, and then they incinerate it. They just set it on fire, right? They stop and have a moment of silence and, like, you know, this whole thing, because it hadn't clicked yet. It's when you realize when he kills the girlfriend, it's like, you know, like John says, like they're in the middle of the shit. Like they're like, we'll worry about her later. We need to get out of here because we don't know if we're going to get out of here at all. So we just need to worry about.
Does that also beg the question? Was the cat not actually hurt too? Was the cat just chilling and they both saw the cat dying? You know, and then they snapped the cat's neck without realizing the cat was fine.
I don't know. That could have been the first of like, the deceptions and the mind games.
It seems like everything was like the storm was fake, right? Like everything about the electronics was fake.
Mm-hmm.
Or not fake, just like illusioned.
They had already been mind manipulated, or how would you say? Maybe they did kill the cat, you know,
prematurely
with no purpose.
Because of the mind games, or like the
Allegra Rolando's like, oh, the girlfriend, oh, the cat, oh, that sucks, fuck. I feel really sad now.
Yeah.
I being a cat dad. Yeah, be the cat dad that hit harder. So some random girl.
I have no immediate emotional connection to anyone in Los Angeles right now, so I have no feelings for any of these characters. Nice. Okay. Well, yeah. I was going to say, should we go into spoilers? But I think
we spoiled it a lot.
We need to throw this spoiled out. It. Yeah. So bad.
Oh, yeah. You know, but it's also like one of those things where I always think about this movie in any kind of like witch kind of movie or story in November for some reason and not October.
Yeah.
For some reason, like the month of November reminds me, it gives me, like, I watch The Witch usually this month, and
yeah.
I'll watch this, and there's just, like, other things. Mm. Like, even The Craft makes me, I watch it, like, in, you know, November, because I feel like November's, like, a witchy month, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
But it's also, like, do you find it weird or it's interesting that a lot of young ladies are really empowering this witch energy now? Like, they'll post their crystals and, like, say we're casting spells and stuff.
I think
you mean Paul?
I think it's cool.
Paul's Ross. He slings.
I think it's cool as long as they're not trying to associate it with Stevie Nicks anymore. Like, come on. Appropriating a culture she has nothing to do with.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, let's make the world witchy.
Yeah. Get witch or die trying.
Witch, please.
Witch.
A witch would.
Which.
Nice. Okay. Where do we go from here, Mr. Rolando?
Well, spoilers are done. Let me look at my script. This has been a fast and loose show. Been super fun. We could do Spooky Bones if you'd like.
What is Spooky Bones?
So George, we should explain. Yeah, we have this rating system. 1 through 10.
It's like, how many times was I able to whack it to this movie? And I do this with every movie. No, it was awfully awkward for society. If you've ever seen that movie.
Oh,
and Salem's Lot.
Yeah, we have a unscientific rating system. You just give it as many sexy spooky bones as you'd like.
Okay, let's do this.
Just rate the movie.
All right. Y'all go first or I go first or?
George, go ahead. Yep.
I'll give it a 8 out of 10. You know, of course there was like, I would give it a 10 out of 10, but for me, like at 8, I think it's just, it's not going to be a perfect movie just because it came in under an hour and a half. A lot was told, and I think what I would like more of is like a prequel on, you know, more of this Jane Doe character. But I loved it. The acting, everything. Like I said, I watch it every year since it came out, a couple times a year. I love it.
Nice. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
I'm going to give The Autopsy of Jane Doe also 8 sexy spooky bones.
It's probably going to be 3 for 3. I'm also going to give it 8 sexy spooky bones for a lot of the same reasons. I think the latter half kind of, you know, the latter half I think is not the conclusion I wasn't completely happy with, but I liked everything leading up to it. Like the first hour, the first really solid hour, amazing acting, scares. It's like there's so many things going on, and they're like really clever about unraveling the mystery of who this girl is, who Jane Doe is, and they do a tremendous job. So yeah, so I'll be.
I mean, they also set up a sequel.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They definitely do.
They do.
Prequel.
Sequel or prequel? Like I'm telling you, they can do it all. Yeah. Have you seen what's it called? Andre, the director, Andre Overdahl's other movie, Troll Hunter?
Yeah, I've seen Troll Hunter. Yeah, I saw that with Edwin Mendoza.
I love it.
It's a good movie. I love
that movie.
Excellent movie. Hey, well, you know, George, thank you so much for being here. I know it's, what, like 3 a.m. or something over there in New York now. Really appreciate it. Yeah.
I think it's already Tuesday where yeah. you're at, right?
Yeah, dude. It's almost 1:30.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But look, is everybody else asleep in the house?
Yeah, man. I'm sure one of the babies will wake up in a minute. Oh, no. No, dude, I like Rosa was like, why are you doing this so late at night? I'm like, you know what? These are my boys. I haven't seen them or spoken to them like really yeah. in years.
Years, yeah.
And I'm going to talk about horror with my buddies. I'm like, of course I'm going to stay up late for this. Like, you don't talk to me about horror.
Yeah, boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, boring.com. Yeah.
Domain name taken. Shit.
Shit. But yeah, no, this has been great. Like I, you know, like I said, if I could talk about horror, I'll talk about horror. You know, it's one of my favorite things. And I even had a website. I have a website a little bit where it's called Jorge's House of Horrors, and it's kind of just an amalgamation of just like everything spooky, just books, movies, short films, crib, like John Gonzalez. Helped with a couple of articles there.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, which I'm very happy is getting over COVID.
Yeah, no, definitely. The whole household there. They got COVID and yeah.
Oh no. Scary. I didn't hear about that. That sucks.
Yeah. But sucks. You know, it's fun. So like if I could talk about horror, I will anytime.
Excellent.
Let's try to do it again sometime.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote, George?
At the moment, no. Just I don't know. I everything I've shot is not going to come out for months, or it's like still waiting to be approved if it's going to roll out into series or not. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah,
because it could be a perfect pilot. You shoot a perfect pilot, and it's like awesome, and then there's just something that happens where the network is like, nah, we don't want it. You know, and
nah, I go back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, or they just shelved it for years, and then until they
like recast everything. Because that happened. With that other show Heels, where like I remember it's a show called Heels, it's on Stars, and my friend Robbie Ramos is on it. He plays Diego Codmouth, and I remember I had other friends auditioning for that show for his part back in January, and this guy auditions for it in August of last year and ends up booking it then. Like they had already like gone through other casting and stuff, and they had to redo stuff, you know, months and months later. So that happens all the time, you know? So yeah, but you should check out Heels if you like wrestling.
Yeah,
like professional, like pro wrestling. That's what it's about. The bad guys are the heels. Mm. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. In like small town heels, Georgia.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Nice. It's really about it, man. Like I'm just, you know, I'm going to get ready to start recording my podcast again. I just kind of took a hiatus for the last few months doing that. I have some fun guests lined up. Hopefully you all will join and we could talk live.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just it's a fun.
Ooh, yeah.
We're going to have to talk about rom-coms.
Rom-coms. Yeah.
Fine. I will. I'll do it then.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah. Like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to watch rom-coms. I just have like a fucking DVD stash of nothing but rom-coms.
It's just like right behind your little screen there. Yeah. It's what you're arresting.
It's just a big poster of Freddie Prinze Jr. I'm like, oh, hey, what's that?
That's not She's All That.
Yeah. They're always with me, right off screen. Yeah.
Right close to me. Safe. Right here.
Safe.
Ready. Just drunk.
Ready.
Hacky sack.
All right. Cheers to us, John, for 1 year of skeleton boying.
Congratulations.
This thing. So.
Birthday, skeleton boys.
The what?
It's happy birthday.
Happy birthday. We're one.
Why not got a pizza sparing?
For one.
Let's do another one. Oh, I'm going to get sued. Yeah. By DJ Khaled.
Yeah, we can't not get yet. Sued. No. Not yet, anyways.
Well, no, we literally can't. We have no money, so we like physically can't get sued.
I mean, they'll find something. They will find something.
They'll find, yeah.
Yeah.
God, hopefully somebody finds something.
Yeah.
If they find something, then I guess I'm in love with them. That's how it's going to work. They found something in me, finally.
All right, guys and girls and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...